Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hey there, it's Christy Lee here, and welcome to this week's episode of Grow Your Influence. Just a reminder that this episode is part two of a conversation I had with Juliette, of course my co-host, back in November as part of Small Business Month. So in our previous episode, episode 31, was the first part of our conversation. Now this was a connection conversation as part of a Small Business Month celebration that I was holding in November, where I was interviewing a range of experts on how we can connect with our people to help drive business success, because Connect for Success was, of course, the theme for New South Wales Small Business Month in November. Now, in last week's episode, Juliette and I chatted about how we can connect with our team through our leadership to help drive business success. And today is the second part of that conversation. Today's chat focuses more around connecting with our own leadership skills and leadership style to help drive business success. It's always fascinating chatting to Juliette, and as my co-host on this Grow Your Influence podcast, she was the first person I asked to participate in one of these connection conversations. So let's dive in, and I hope you enjoy part two of our connection conversation. So let's move on to connecting with ourselves as leaders. And this is really your domain of expertise, but I find all this stuff fascinating about really understanding and knowing ourselves as leaders, and some of us are more self-aware than others for sure. Yeah. But it's really important, isn't it, in terms of really unpacking what great leadership looks like for us as individuals, in terms of connecting that back to the business success, because what great leadership looks like in one business could be very different to another business.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the skill and the of leadership comes in, really. And that's all about self-awareness, you know, because when leaders, the people I see who are great leaders have that level of awareness about themselves, which gives them awareness of other people. So they can go into different environments and lead differently because that's what's required. So yeah, they're not just doing the same thing over and over regardless of who they're leading or what they're trying to do. Mm. They're able to adapt because they have that awareness and they have that emotional intelligence that comes with it.
And it's sometimes something I think we have to re-tap into as well. Like, we need to sort of look at where are things right now, what do we need to be doing as the leader right now, and maybe that's not our natural default. We have to tap into those other leadership skills we've developed. You said earlier that the toolkit that we might have or might need to develop, and that could involve some leadership development, some self-development in that space, but it's connecting into where are our strengths, what does our business need right now, or what does my team need right now, and what do I need to do to, I guess, achieve that?
I think so. And I think also just what I'm seeing a lot of in the last 12 months is leaders who are really struggling to have conversations with their people. So, you know, when we talk about communicating more with your team, that actually takes some skill. And as you were saying, that's not just talking. That's about listening as well. Yeah. But it's about being able to use questions rather than statements. I was talking to someone the other day who said they just won't do what I want them to do. You know, and I was saying, well, have you thought about asking them what's going on? You know, what do they think this should look like and how do they think it should happen? Yeah. And we talked about a week later and they were like, oh, my gosh, that just changed the whole dynamic, because I wasn't just saying, oh, you must. Yeah. I was actually saying, you know, you take some ownership here.
Yes.
You tell me how this could work. Yeah. And having those skills is so fundamental. But I know that so many people struggle with that aspect of it. And for most of us, you know, we do what we do and we just do it day after day, and that becomes the way we do it. Mm. And we often don't stop to think about, is there a better way to do this? Or why am I not connecting with this? Why is this person so annoying? Mm-hmm. You know, so frustrating. Why won't they come to the party? And often we don't stop and think about how we could connect with them, you know, what we're seeing and hearing and how we could do that better. Mm. And I think that's a really fundamental skill for a leader, but it comes from understanding ourselves. Because if we start there, then we can understand other people.
I talk a lot about having curious conversations with our team. And I love curiosity. I think it's a superpower we all don't tap into enough. We're great as kids at being curious, but we get so busy, we get so in the detail. And right now I know there are a lot of leaders out there who are burnt out and exhausted. And I was talking on the podcast just last week about just trying to get through to Christmas. But this is actually a time of year where I encourage people to not just put your head down and get through, but to be talking to your team, because we know, you know, January is a high resignation period, for example. So this is the time to be having curious conversations, because I think as leaders, sometimes our default is we assume we know what they're thinking, feeling, why they're behaving a certain way, but almost inevitably we don't.
I agree. And we have these stories in our heads about why people are doing something or why they're behaving this way or, you know, what went on. And when we actually ask some questions and people say, no, that's not what happened, or no, I wasn't doing it for that reason, suddenly we have to sort of explode these stories that we've been carrying around in our head and rebuild them with the actual facts. And that takes time too. It takes time, and as you say, it takes that curiosity. You need to actually be asking the question. And I know I was talking with someone the other day who was struggling with someone who had been really motivated and had sort of dropped off the perch a bit. And, you know, I was saying to them, how about a conversation that says, I recognize that you have been so strong in this area for so long, and I'm, you know, that clearly isn't the case at the moment. You know, tell me what's going on. You know, how can I support you? You know, what do we need to do to help you? Are those sorts of questions as well. So getting them to own it, but offering that support that gives them that scaffolding.
Especially if you've got someone that has been great and has, for whatever reason, something's changed. If you don't get to that early and ask the right questions and get genuinely curious and not assume, so not leading them down a path where you think the answer's going, you won't find out what's going on, but you also won't create that opportunity to reverse it very quickly. And we know that the longer those, you know, habits and trends go on, we get into disengagement, we get into toxic culture, those things can spiral very quickly, even from someone who had been one of our best. So getting really curious, and that means open-ended questions, it means leaving your expectations or your assumptions at the door, which is sometimes super, super challenging. And creating that, I guess, safe environment for someone to psychologically open up and for everyone in that conversation to be vulnerable, because sometimes as a leader we're going to hear things we don't want to hear in those conversations.
Yes, they can be really uncomfortable. And I think that's the other thing I would add to that, because I totally agree. And I think sometimes what we see in other people is actually something about the way we are behaving too. And that can be really confronting to think about too. You know, the fact that we aren't perfect. That we aren't always fabulous. And that they might tell us things that make us, or that mean we should pause and reflect on that and think about how we could do it differently.
And I think always going into those conversations with the intention of coming with some solutions or a pathway forward, because staff do get really frustrated. And I've had this experience recently with one of the teams I'm working with, when you keep having the conversations, yet no action is ever taken.
Nothing changes. Yes, absolutely. And I think also, you know, what I see too is, you know, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but that a conversation will happen and then that's it, as though that somehow fixed the whole thing. You know, and this need to actually stay engaged with an issue, to follow it through, to ask people to come up with solutions and then hold them accountable for delivering those solutions. I think all of that is important. because that builds their sense of self-worth as well. Mm. You know, that they are actually being measured against something and they've risen to the occasion and they've delivered something is really important.
Yeah.
And that if they can't, that they feel supported in different ways to be able to say, I don't have the skills or I don't know what I'm doing or I need some help or whatever, I think is all really important.
Mm. So I think, you know, for us as leaders, it's about, I guess, courage, vulnerability, being open to all the scenarios and all of the expectations just being sort of wiped off the table in order for us to really get that connection with our people. And I guess when we're thinking about connecting with our own leadership skills, it's about getting support too.
Totally, yes. And also I think just not rushing to an outcome. And I know I was working with a group of leaders a few weeks ago and they just, when we talked about some of this, and they just, you know, the eye roll and the, oh, God, but it takes so long. And you've got to talk to everybody and you've got to make sure everyone's happy, you know. And they were really struggling with it. And they were highly analytical people who were just driving to outcomes.
Yep.
And we talked about how if you actually slow that down and you get curious and you bring the team with you so that they're taking responsibility for things, it actually enables you to step up, you know, off the ballroom and into the balcony sort of thing. So you're not constantly doing the dance. You can see what's happening and you can lead more effectively. Because I think if you're constantly, you know, on the ballroom floor doing the dancing, that can be really difficult too. And I think that's where we get caught up in that, oh, we've just got to do it, or this is the story in my head and that must be true sort of thing.
Yeah, so true. And look, I was super guilty of that early in my leadership journey as well. Oh, I was, you know, just that I'm like, do I have to talk to them about that for that long? Do we really need to go down this path? Yeah. Can't we just keep on going? And that is the risk when you are a leader but also very operational at the same time. You do have to find opportunity as a leader to, as you said, take that bird's eye view and take yourself out of the day-to-day, even if it's just for a period of time every week or every month, because until you can remove yourself from that, it's so hard to see.
And I think also when you're in that frame of mind, meetings are about, they're very tactical, they're very what's happening, let's go do it.
Yeah.
And there's really not a lot of connection going on because you're just driving to outcomes. And I think we need to be really careful because this group was saying, look, we meet with the team a lot. You know, we meet with them twice a week and we couldn't do it anymore. But what it came down to was they were meeting to go through task lists. That was it. There wasn't any other connection happening.
That's and a really, really great point, I think, in terms of the different types of meetings that we lead as leaders and having a very clear intention around the differences between them. I mean, sure, have your daily WIP meetings, but don't assume that that's how you're connecting with your team. That's purely a task list meeting. Yeah. So you do have to create that different type of meeting, even if it's a monthly team meeting, and that is there for a very different purpose.
Absolutely. And that is a curious meeting. That is a how did this go and what can we do better? And sometimes it's a what's wrong with this, you know, how can we improve this or, you know, those sorts of things. I think, yes, you're right, there needs to be that curious meeting.
And it has a very different purpose and intention, and so you've got to lead it very differently as well. But I, at the moment, I'm seeing a lot of teams get very bogged down in daily WIP meetings that seem to be going forever. I'm like, can we get those done in 15 minutes? That should be just a boom, boom, boom meeting. Yeah. But they just get drowning in the detail, and then they're trying to throw everything into that meeting, like shout outs, like recognition, and it's all being undermined because the team are just, they're not seeing the value. It's just getting all mixed up in the wash, basically. So,
well, that's it. And they feel like they're just being pushed through. It's just so we don't have to have another meeting. So we'll just do it. The other thing I saw recently, I sat in on a team meeting and the leader, about 10 minutes in, you could see she was just, you know, getting frustrated because she wanted to get on. She wanted to stop talking, really. So she got out her laptop and started doing some things on her laptop.
No.
And I actually had to pass her a note saying, you need to put it away, you know, because such clear signal was, I'm over this. I'm so not interested anymore.
that's next level fascinating.
Yes, I know. And you know, when we talk about self-awareness, I think we all assume we're pretty self-aware when we get to leadership roles. And what I see so often is that that's not the case. And that we need to actually be open to challenging some of that for ourselves and to grow through some of that.
I think for so many leaders, and again, something I've been guilty of, the whole busyness thing is like a badge of honor. I'm so busy, I don't have time for this. That you just got to let that go, because if you don't, if you can't be present with your team during a meeting or during a conversation, you are missing the red flags, you're missing the opportunities.
And you call the meeting.
I think it's something we've got to really do away with, that, you know, we should, busy is the only sign of success kind of thing. I think that's a challenge that we've got to work with for sure.
Yes, and I think it's incredibly damaging when your team is talking but doesn't feel heard. They'll just stop talking. You know, that's what we know, is they'll just go, well, what's the point?
You're
not listening anyway, so I'm not going to waste my time.
Exactly. And I think what I want to chat about as well, now I will just mention, if you are watching live, because we've got some people live, let us know in comments if you're enjoying the conversation. If you've got a question, let us know as well in the chat. I think the other challenge is, as leaders, leadership can be a lonely, lonely place, whether we are in a small business and we own the business, or whether we're a leader within a fairly small business where there may not be five other leaders of, you know, at our level or around us. It can be tricky, because sometimes there's just things that you want to just bounce off someone and say, am I going crazy here, or how should I approach this? And we spend a lot of time, I think, second-guessing ourselves, way overthinking. Something I had a client share with me the other day, they spent 45 minutes crafting an email because they wanted to get the wording so right to a colleague. And because they just didn't have that opportunity to bounce someone off. And this is why I love, groups like your mastermind, where leaders can connect with each other, because I imagine the knowledge sharing that would go on amongst leaders from all different industries and different businesses would really broaden everyone's skill sets as leaders. Is that what you see in your mastermind?
I think absolutely. But it also helps, it builds their confidence.
Yeah.
And I know, talking to members of the mastermind, because in my mastermind, you all get your own little mini mastermind. So you get put in a group with others so that you can then go and meet. And these become your little vault, really. These are the people, you know, you meet with every fortnight and have conversations with. And what I hear back is that, yes, you know, they are, doesn't matter what's happening, these guys are making time to meet with their mastermind every couple of weeks, because that's where they take stuff to say, am I going mad? Or I really don't know how to deal with this. Or, you know, has anybody kind of ever done this before? Because I'm about to do it and I just feel a bit wobbly about it. And it's given them so much confidence to then go and do what they need to do.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that nothing goes any further, because some of the people in the mastermind, you know, they've got public profiles, they're out there doing things, and they can't afford to have a conversation in public that might get picked up by the press or whatever. So this is their vault. This is where they come with their challenges and their concerns and just all those little questions. And, you know, and I know myself, I used to talk to my husband about things and he'd be like, good, that sounds interesting. And he loved what I did, but he didn't really understand it. Yeah. And I think we so often put this stuff on our family and friends and they don't really know what we do, and they're not in the same realm. Whereas when we find a group of other leaders, I think it's so powerful. And that's why I did it. Because I think we need that. And particularly when you work in small and medium-sized business, often you don't get that because you don't want to talk to your team, because often the issues you want to talk about are about how to leave your team.
Yep.
So you need somewhere else. So, yeah, I love when you can find people to connect with. I just think that's such a powerful thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so important as leaders that we find a peer group, a master, whatever you know, call it, to connect with, because that will improve your leadership skills. That is going to be what drives your success as a leader. So, you know, if you want information about Juliet's mastermind, reach out to her. I know she's, you know, will welcome you in there. Finding that group of people to connect with is so important for our own success journey. And it's, I think there's a conception that we have to do it alone, that there isn't, there isn't, I don't think, a wide knowledge that there are services like that or opportunities like that to connect with other leaders from all different backgrounds, which I think must be fascinating. Just to have that sounding board, that, like you said, that vault of trusted support and advice and experience.
And just to know that you're not the only one, because I think so often, that when I first joined my first sort of mastermind, it reminded me a bit of a mother's group. You know, you go and you've got a new baby and you've got no idea what you're doing. Yep. And you say, oh, this has happened, and everybody else goes, oh, yeah, that happened to me weeks ago. And I feel like the mastermind, if you can find people who are in business and doing things similarly to you, not similarly as in the way that they work, but just that they're all trying to run a team or build a team and run a business. Mm. And you raise something and it's almost inevitably someone will say, oh, God, yes, I went through that last year. Yep. Or, oh, yes, I've had that problem. And you suddenly feel really normal.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if it's just in your head, it can often become overwhelming because you don't
realize. Yeah, you can really catastrophize things when it's just in your head. And they become way bigger than they need to be. And the other thing that's great about being part of those groups is when you share something or you ask a question, inevitably someone says, I didn't know I needed to know that, or thank you for asking that. Yeah. That's really helped me, which I love those kind of, you know, just interactions where people didn't know that that was actually something that they needed to learn or were going to have to do next week or something like that. So, so valuable to connect with that sort of peer group, I think, is really important. Mm. Yeah, so I think in terms of tapping into ourselves as leaders and really, you know, connecting with our own leadership skills for success, it's really about understanding ourselves, being open to growth and development and to the fact that maybe we don't have it all figured out and we need some help, and connecting with other leaders, other people just like us. I think that is so critical.
Absolutely. And, look, I think – if you can get those three things happening as a leader, then what you'll see is this growth that just takes you forward. You know, it will make such a difference to the way you lead and the way your team responds to you. Yeah. And that, I mean, that just has to flow through to business success.
Absolutely. You know,
all of these things are interlinked. And when we build a powerful team and we can sustain that power because of the way we lead, then everything starts to, you know, you create a virtuous cycle, really.
Yep. Yeah, it all comes back to the right team, great leadership, business success.
Absolutely.
So you get those two key magic ingredients humming along, that's where really it all happens. So
Fantastic.
Julia, thank you so much for joining me today for the first of our connection conversations. I always love our chats and I always learn from you in our chats, and I think it's just a really important conversation for small businesses during Small Business Month to see the value of connecting with our team and connecting with ourselves and our leadership skills to help drive our business.
I totally agree, and I love chatting with you, Christy Lee. It's always interesting, and yes, we always bring out all sorts of different nuggets, don't we?
It's always something. Excellent. Well, look, thank you for joining me. For those watching live, thank you for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.